But this morning, my hope is for us in a combination of God's Holy Spirit, God's anointing in my thoughts to enable us to become better at being disciples. I hope that we can become better at making disciples. But the end result is that God gets all the glory. It's God who gets all the glory. And one of the things that I see as a pastor is that we give out teachings. I preach a lot of sermons, and many of you that are here today have heard sermons for years and years and years. You have heard countless teachings and Bible studies and small groups. You've heard all of this. And I know sometimes we agree that we need to make changes. And we agree that we need to be doing more than what we do. But then it seems like that there's a lot of times we don't make those changes. We don't hear. We always hear, but it doesn't seem like that we're good at doing. You're here this morning for a reason, aren't you? And let me ask you, what was that reason that you got out of bed this morning and came here? What was the reason? Because you love the Lord. I like that response. I hope it wasn't just to come hear me. I'm not that good, okay? If I ask you, do you want to be more like Jesus? What would you say? I would hope that your answer would be sincere and you would say yes. That you want to be more like Jesus, but do you understand what it means to be more like Jesus? You know, there's a difference of what is in our head and what is in our heart. And it seems sometimes so far away, and the ability to get head knowledge down into heart knowledge, that's really what I want to happen in somebody's life. That's what, you know, there's a lot of people who know about God. They know about Jesus, but they really don't know Jesus in their heart. They've never really had any relationship with Jesus. They've never really experienced Jesus. So they have a head knowledge without heart knowledge. And I think the difference is of what you know in your head and what you know in your heart, that will be the difference in whether you will live out your beliefs or you'll live a life, the life in the flesh or life in the spirit. And there's a lot of things that we know we should or should not do in our heads. We know those things. But stopping or putting into action begins that struggle within us. We fight it, don't we? We fight the should things that we know we should be doing. And it doesn't necessarily mean sinful things. Sometimes it means going and talking to your neighbor or going and sharing the Word of God with somebody at work, or those things is what I'm talking about. It's more to it than dealing with the sinful flesh, right? But there are fears. Okay, but God knows that, Brother Curley. God knows that. So thank you for letting me know that so I don't tell somebody else that. Okay, well, we forgive you, brother. We do.
You're in good
company. It's all right. I'm glad we share with each other, and there's nothing wrong with that. Let me back up a little bit. But there's a lot of things that we know we should or shouldn't do in our heads, but stopping or putting into action begins with that struggle that's within us. And I think that's why people struggle coming to church on a consistent basis, is the fear Their fears determine their actions. And our fears determine our actions when we live in the world too, right? When we're out and about. Sometimes we're afraid to do the things that we know that the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And we listen to, instead of listening to our head knowledge or the fleshly knowledge, we are not listening to the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know, you probably should take time to go do this or do that. And then you have this debate going on in your mind. You're like, well, I've got to go do this. I don't have time today because I'm busy. And sometimes we are busy. Sometimes I'm so busy that I don't have time to do some of the things that I would like to do when I'm studying or prepping for sermons or things on Wednesday night. And sometimes that takes more time away, or I've got a class that I have to get to. And so I have to spend hours reading when I feel like I should be doing something else. You have to be able to address your fears, and you have, you know, I know we got questions, and we want those questions answered. We don't understand when things happen, do we? There's a lot of stuff we don't understand. Cancer is one of them, and sickness and all these things. But you know what? When sin came into the world in the beginning, when Adam sinned, all that happened, right? It's part of our life, and it won't end until we get to heaven. So what I hope this morning is something miraculously happens, right? And that's what I expect. I want to come to church and see things happen within the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. God lives within us. Amen?
Amen.
God is here today. Amen? Does that mean something to you that God is here today with you? I hope we can get honest about where we are with God, and we'll participate in God's Word this morning. Something that will take us maybe from just head knowledge to heart knowledge. Maybe we can get some questions answered. I hope you're seeking God every day in your life. Every moment. Prayer without ceasing. That means communication with God on a constant basis. So to be like Jesus really is to be our virtues. And virtues, by definition, is our behavior of keeping high standards. But there is keeping high standards is not based on performance either. We learn that. Hal even said that yesterday. It's not based on performance, because when it's based on performance, it's based on a set of rules that we do, and that becomes legalism. Because it's not about what we do, it's about what He has done. He has done a great work within us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But we still keep the standards, because why do we keep the standards? Because we keep His standards because He lives within us. And when He lives within us, we start to become more like Him. When we become more like Him, then we start wanting to do the things that Jesus did. Amen? Because then His standards become our standards. Not because they're a set of rules that we force ourselves to do. To be like Jesus would be to take His virtues and apply them in our lives, and that's God's design for our lives. That's why He gave us the Scriptures to read. So when we read the Bible, when we read the Scriptures, it's a living Word, right? It means it's alive, and it affects you when you read it. It's more than just a head knowledge. It's not like reading a novel, a book. It's reading God Himself and who He is and what His standards are. And to think like Jesus is, it's our beliefs. To believe something is not enough, though. We got to believe it as a way of life. That's the holiness lifestyle. We got to believe what we know, right?
Amen.
And then we got to put it into practice.
Right.
And that's why James said, "Don't be just hearers of the word.
No.
Be doers of the word." And why are you doers of the word? It's because you love God.
Amen.
Not because you have a set of rules that you have to live by. Because when you love God, those rules, you're going to just do them because you love God.
Mm-hmm.
Act like Jesus is practicing disciplines such as Bible studies and engaging community and worship and prayer and sharing our faith. You know, when we come together, we worship together. We should. It should be an important thing. It should be... It should mean something when we all come together in the church.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether it's in this building or it's in somebody's house or it's out in the parking lot. That's irrelevant. When the body of Christ comes together, we should worship together.
Amen.
Because we're connected to our Savior.
That is true.
Setting our standards and our morals to a standard of God's desires. And that's what He desires of us, and living out our beliefs. And that's what helps us produce disciples as we're being discipled. It keeps us strong in our faith, and it helps us to accomplish what God wants us to do and what He wants from us. And thinking like Jesus, just saying that makes me feel inadequate, really. For me to think like Jesus, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been in church most all my life. But like everybody else, I have issues. I've got a past. I've got shortcomings. I've got kids. I got a family, right?
Why?
I have weaknesses. I have an attitude sometimes. And all these things can keep me sometimes from thinking more about Jesus and being like Jesus. Because of these things, I sometimes show my imperfections. But God knew all that. He knows all that. And thinking like myself will never get me close to God. It'll never get me close to thinking like Jesus. And we got to think like Christ. But how do we do that? That's the question. God tells us that we need a renewed mind. We cannot think like Jesus unless we have the mind of Christ. You can't think like Jesus unless you've been saved. Unless you've got Christ living in your heart. When you receive Christ in you, then He'll renew you. He'll mold you and make you. He'll transform you into His likeness. And for some of us, that may take a long time. It might. And just like what Paul said, one of my favorite things, you guys have heard me say it over and over again. As long as he had served Christ, all the things that he had went through and taught, he said, "Not that I've attained it all."
Amen.
God was still working on him, just like he's still working on some of us. Even though we've been in the church for years and years and years, God is still working on us. We cannot think like Christ unless we have the mind of Christ. And that's the only way Jesus can change us is if we allow Him and we practice the life that Jesus lived. That's why He told His disciples, you go do what I did. Go live like I lived. Scripture this morning, Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. I forgot to give it to Carla. Did I mention pray for Verna? Verna's. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. You want to read with me this morning, if you have your Bibles. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than in Christ. Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us see. Help us hear. Help us to be more like You. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, as you journey in your Christian walk with the Lord, your goal is to allow God to renew or change your thinking about the truths of God. And He's God, and God does not change, does He? He does not change. From the beginning to the end, He is the eternal God. He was from before, and there's no end to it. Before the foundations of the world, before the universe, before everything was created, there was God. He is God, and God does not change. And the first truth to thinking like Jesus is to know the Jesus you claim to serve. Amen? Do you know Jesus today? Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in Him. That's what the Scripture says.
Amen.
And Christ has saved us from the penalty of our sins. Amen? He adopted us into the family of God because of what Christ has done for us. And we had to go from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus personally. His voice, John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You know, we don't leave. That's one thing Hal said yesterday that stuck with me. He said, we call ourselves leaders, but we're really followers. Because we follow Christ. We don't lead Christ around, but so many times we try to do that. We drag Christ around in our messes, and we drag Christ around in our lives instead of following Christ. There's a big difference between knowing of Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus, isn't there? And every thought, action, and virtue produced from our renewed and redeemed mind and heart is born from an empowered by the presence of God in our lives. Man, do you feel God this morning? Do you feel Him? So for us to have this correct belief in Jesus, we have to put Jesus in His rightful place. And we have to understand what Jesus has done for us. And so I would ask you this morning, do you understand what Jesus did for you? Do you understand what He did for you? I mean, that's enough right there. I mean, I come to church because of that reason. I I preach because of that reason, because I realize what God did for me. I don't have to get up here and do this. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to do anything. But I choose to because I realize and understand what God did for me. Jesus is the catalyst. And you want more of Jesus, you have to have a relationship with Jesus, don't you? Sometimes my head gets ahead of my spirit. Because it means something to me. Following Christ means something to me. It hurts me to see people that say they know Christ that really don't care about Christ. It hurts. But to have a relationship with God, you have to desire to be in the presence of God. That means in your quiet times alone, when you're driving down the road or it means here together. That should be our goal. That should be our desire, is to be in the presence of God Almighty.
Yeah. Amen.
That means with our family, that means He's here today. We know that we're in the presence of God Almighty. That means something to me. Everyone that's received Christ has Christ living in them, not just walking beside them. That's what the disciples had, right? The disciples had Christ walking beside them. We have Christ living in us. You know how much better that is? That's why Jesus told His disciples, it's better that I go. Because when I go, amen. 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 Wonderful testimony, isn't it? I never get tired of hearing that testimony. But understanding that when Jesus said, it's better that I go. It's better that I go, because when I'm here, I'm walking beside you. But when I go, I'm going to be living in you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Amen?
Amen.
He's not just walking beside us. He says, I'm in you. I'm guiding you. I'm speaking to you. I'm teaching you. Amen. We're in the presence of God Almighty. You know, Jesus makes the changes in our lives that we need to change. He does, doesn't He? He empowers us to live a life that is not only abundantly full, but also pleasing to Him, pleasing to God. You know, there's a lot of central truths to our faith, and one of them is that we understand who God is and how much He desires a relationship with us. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right there. God the Father sent the Son to die for each of us for our sins, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower our lives for the service to Him. Yes. The key question is, who is God? A lot of people. The Bible in Genesis 1:1 answers that question with these very words: "In the beginning, God." Everything revolves around God the Creator, God the Savior, God the Master of the universe. And there's a lot of questions we don't have answers for, but where did God come from? I've heard that people try to define that, but in the beginning, before time, as we know it, God was God, and God created everything. He does not have to explain anything. And that's what he told Job. Job questioned God, and Job says, "Where were you when I formed all this? Where were you?" I'm God. There's things you just... He doesn't have to explain anything, does he?
Amen.
How he came about, he is God and we are not. He owes no explanation to us at all. The Apostle Paul, he says this. He said, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." You just look around and you can see His creation. You can see the beauty of things, and there's things that, look at the butterflies and the birds and how perfect they are in colors. Flowers, how perfect they are. God created. We can't understand that. But Scripture makes it clear that there will always be gods people choose to follow and serve. And what God have you chosen today? God of the flesh, or the gods of this world, or the God of all creation? Savior. King of kings and Lord of lords. Almighty Prince of Peace. God makes no apology that He is the God of gods, and there is no one higher, and that nothing that we have was created by any other. He created it. So I guess the statement of truth is we have to take this into our hearts and ponder it. I believe that God of the Bible is real, don't you?
Amen.
I believe that the Word of God is truth. I believe every word. Because if I don't, why am I even here? I don't believe that it's a blind faith either. I believe that it is faith based upon the Word of God and the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit confirms it in our hearts, doesn't it? I know because I know what's in my heart. And I can't explain it, but I know that I'm not the same person. I desire to do the things that are different than the world. It hurts me to see things that happen in the world. It bothers me. Why? Because it's not like Christ. It bothers Him. Why does it bother? That's why it bothers me, because He lives inside of me. The Spirit confirms it to our hearts and to our minds and to our souls. We see things that we know, even in our head, we're like, man, that ain't right. And then we know it in our soul, deep down, that, man, that's just not right. You ever see something that wasn't right and just kind of made you sick to your stomach? Huh? That's what sin does, isn't it? It just makes you sick to your stomach because you know it's... I don't know about you, but there's times where I just don't want to understand God. I take strength and comfort in knowing that I don't have to know everything. I just want to trust Him because He knows better. And that's hard for some of us to do, to let go and just trust God. That He knows. He has the answers. We don't have to have all that. We can take comfort that He is God and we are not, and we can rest easy knowing that He is in charge and in control, but yet we don't want to let go of that, do we? We have a desire that goes beyond you and our own abilities, and I actively want to follow Christ. I want to do His will. I want to do what's right. How about you this morning? That only happens once you put that all in perspective. When you can do that, God's put in His right place and He'll be the Lord of your life. And you won't doubt it. You won't fight it any longer. And once you put that in perspective, God loves you and He wants to do what is best for all of us and for you and me. He becomes the only God in your life and not just the many gods that are in your life. Once we can kind of understand that, and once we develop this personal relationship with Christ, we'll begin to live like Jesus. Live like He's near in our life. Live like He lives inside of you. You'll act like you know Him. Right? I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, they just don't act like they know Jesus very well. We'll live a life that is meaning, that has meaning and a purpose because we know Jesus is in it. We'll understand the great commission. I say commission because we'll begin to do the things that Jesus did. And I don't have to tell you what Jesus did, do I? You guys have heard that before. You know what Jesus did. One scripture I'm always reminded of, He said, "You'll do greater things than I did." And then we know what Jesus did, but what are those greater things? I'm always reminded of that. You'll do greater things than I did. Because I'm not walking beside of you. I'm living in you. Psalms 121 says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life, and the Lord will watch over your comings and goings, and both now and forever." Such a wonderful promise. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the many blessings that you've done for me. Some of them are small, but I see you every day. Every day. Lord, and I pray, Lord, for this great group of people that's here this morning, Lord, that they just come to know you a little bit more, that they learn to be a little quieter sometimes and just listen for your voice. To let go of fear and anxiety and just speak the name of Jesus. Lord, I praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.